come at the hour, come at the mothership, that is Coast to Coast AM. Good evening and welcome to the Saturday night edition of Coast to Coast AM. Seems like an eternity since we were last together, but here we are. So, you know, it's that time warp thing. Tonight on the program, Dr. George Hart, SDI scientist, JPL guy, and his colleague, Paul Gersio, will come on the program to discuss some aspects of the Merlin Project and their predictive system known as Time Tracks, which is uncannily accurate. And we'll discuss how these time tracks are indicating things to them that we don't know about yet, but we will soon. For the first hour, you know, I really like it when Ship's Captain George Norrie lets me sit in on Friday night and do an open line thing with you. And I miss that, so I thought maybe, well, we still have some good energy rolling here. We just take a bunch of your calls in the first hour, just see what's on your mind. Are you annoyed? Are you happy? Are you sad? Is somebody in trouble? You need some positive, collective, vibrational energy directed at that person. That would be very nice. And it's, I'll tell you what, in more than a few cases, it's been extraordinarily effective. And I thought as long as we have this hour together, I just sort of get into the some news items for you that you may not have time to get into yourself. Now, this comes out of, this is a mainstream media report, and it's not not pretty. Deaths from new bird flu underscore grim fears, report show. A new report on three of the first patients in China to contract a novel strain of bird flu has U.S. officials worried about a grim scenario that includes severe illness with pneumonia, septic shock, brain damage, and multi-organ failure. All three of the patients died, according to a report this last Thursday by a group of Chinese scientists in the New England Journal of Medicine. Quote, "It is possible that these severely ill patients represent the tip of the iceberg." This is from Dr. Timothy Uyeki and Dr. Nancy Cox, both of the influenza division at the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, in a perspective piece accompanying their article. The reports chronicle the early days of an outbreak of a new influenza A virus, H7N9, which has never before been seen in humans. As of Friday, Chinese officials said it had infected at least 43 people in four Chinese provinces and killed 11 people in the past 2 months. And speaking of which, that's from NBC News, by the way. Speaking of which, I said it's a dumb thing. Now, a lot of times people say, look, if you say a dumb thing and nobody really notices, just let it go. It's like, well, I noticed, so I'm going to point it out. I was listening to the replay of the program and, you know, a couple of minutes as I headed into the horizontal mode. And I was saying that this virus mutates, then the virus becomes ineffective. And what I meant was the vaccine would become ineffective. But in some cases, these viruses will mutate into something worse, making a vaccine ineffective. And most of the time, what they do is they mutate into something that renders the virus incapable of producing dis-ease among humans. So it's been dogging me for a week. If I make a mistake, I just say so. Sometimes I think one of the biggest ones was opening my mouth as a matter, you know, over the public airwaves. Sometimes the thing that worries me about this program the very most is what's going to come out of my mouth. And I know you know what I mean. There's a lot of stuff going on out there. Do you know about the WAN-IFRA? It's the World Association of Newspapers and News Publishers. It's a global organization of the world's press, representing more than 18,000 publications, 15,000 online sites, and over 3,000 companies in more than 120 countries. It was created by the July 2009 merger of the World Association of Newspapers and IFRA, the research and service organization for the news publishing industry. Now, it serves as a worldwide platform for the exchange of ideas, information, and experiences among its members and other participants in the news publishing industry. But if you're wondering why it is when you turn on your television This is really what makes radio such a beautiful thing. But not so many layers to go through. Lawyers, producers, editors, and so forth. You just open the microphone and let it rip. If you wonder why when you're watching television and you're trying to pick up some news, why it seems like they're all parroting each other. Well, they are. Now, if you understand that a few more than 200 media executives control the information diet of about 277 million Americans, you begin to get the drift. And what I'm going to suggest to you over the next couple of minutes is, I don't want to bore you with this. I just want you to just take this information and do with it what you will. But the six companies that control 90% of what we read, watch, and listen are GE, News Corp, Disney, Viacom, Time Warner, and CBS. Okay? It's like, well, so what? Well, the problem is that algorithms are producing journalism. It sounds futuristic, but it is already really a reality. Now, this is from The Guardian in the UK. Journalistic texts are characterized by a certain structure that algorithms can be programmed to imitate. The first tests still read or sound like early prototypes, but they're already around in sports journalism, with finance and local news to come next. Local news to come next. In the U.S., two different projects have started work on algorithm-produced journalism. The sports statistics website StatSheet announced a plan to completely automate sports content as of this summer. Okay? The information that I just told you goes back to 2010. So when you understand that they're all repeating the same thing, Jody Arias, may I just ask a question? Who cares? This murder trial has gone on and on and on with no end in sight. You and I know that if somebody shoots somebody, stabs somebody over 24 times and slashes their throat, then, well, one of two things needs to happen rather than squander millions upon millions, probably, of taxpayer dollars in furtherance of the prosecution of this case. It seems like I heard something about a swift and speedy trial, and this thing just goes on and makes fodder for the news organizations, which, again, are controlled by six companies. So that is why we are here, because some of the stuff that you're about to hear, you're not going to hear over the mainstream media at all. One of my favorite little websites, besides coasttocoastam.com, which you should always go to just to take a look, is a little thing called Full Spectrum Dominance. Full with a dash, spectrum with a dash, then dominance.com. From the LA Times, states in a race to secure drone testing. Yes, groups in 37 states are vying to become one of six federally designated sites for testing the remotely piloted crafts for use in the nation's airspace. They see a chance to generate jobs. From Natural News, Monsanto wins patent battle with DuPont Corporation to seize full rights of GM seed patents. Apparently discontent with its more than $13.5 billion-plus in annual sales, genetic modification kingpin Monsanto has been trying for the past four or so years to extract billions more dollars from rival DuPont for alleged patent infringement involving its genetically modified Roundup Ready soybean technology. And the agri-giant has apparently achieved this goal, having recently settled its long-standing feud with DuPont in exchange for a massive, yes, $1.75 billion royalty payout to be delivered over the course of the next 10 years, according to reports. From Public Intelligence, Department of Defense issues instructions on military support of civilian law enforcement. Madeleine Albright, remember her? She's a Balkan telecom tycoon now, although her investment firm, Albright Capital Management, denied it to the New York Times in January. WMR has learned from a United Nations source who recently visited Kosovo that former Secretary of State Madeleine Albright has a more than 50% stake in Kosovo Telecom, also known as PTK. Yep. From Navy Times, lawmaker says stop hiding cameras in VA patients' rooms. I'll let you make that into whatever you wish. Antiwar.com says an audit Pentagon gave Afghan contracts to terrorists. And Scotland's Royal Bank VP is arrested in Moscow for $10 million fraud. Yes, Russian police arrested the vice president of the Royal Bank of Scotland in Moscow Thursday on charges of having embezzled 300 million rubles. That's 9.7 million buckaroos, Russia's Central Federal District Interior Department announced Friday. According to the police, Vlasovod Gludhovsev, I'm close, embezzled money from a number of individuals and companies after misleading them into believing they were investing in property and construction projects in Montenegro. And there's ever so much more, ever so much more. Senator Mark Kirk, booze and boat party, smooth Dubai partisan gun deal. Yes, you know, 4 out of 5 dentists really like Coast to Coast AM. The fifth one, we just got him drunk. Senator Mark Kirk says the real driving force behind the gun deal was hatched by bipartisan work in furtherance of imbibing booze during boat retreats. The Illinois Republican said to reporters that visits to the Black Tie, a yacht owned by Democrat Senator Joe Manchin, played a huge role in the Democratic-Republican come-together over background checks and other legislation related to gun control. Roll call reported. Okay, had enough? All right, tell you what. Command, do me a favor. Run those telephone numbers for our blessed and beloved listeners, and let's have ourselves a chat, shall we? John D. Wells in with you tonight. This is the one and only Coast to Coast AM. Pleasure to be in with you tonight. We've got some good times, some good music, a bit of fun, and a great big dose of mind candy coming your way. So let's take a few calls. Wild card line number one, Rich in San Jose, California. How are you doing tonight?
Hey, I'm doing good, and I want to really thank you for taking my phone call. I just wanted to bring something up that maybe a lot of people don't know about, but there's this real-life conspiracy. It doesn't involve a phenomenon from other planets or anything, but there's a real-life conspiracy with the Chinese society and the Chinese government really to drive a lot of species into extinction so they can then open up farms on those animals. For instance, the Bengal tiger or the large tiger species. It's a delicacy in China to have the tiger penis soup. You know, I mean, it makes perfect sense, right? You eat the tiger penis soup, you're...
Dude.
Cures everything.
Wait. And I've heard of rhinoceros horn, but did you say tiger penis soup?
Yes, it's a big delicacy with the Chinese. They also grind up the bones and use the bones in all kinds of, you know, 2,000-year-old prescriptions. And they're also doing this, of course, with the elephants there. They're taking the elephant tusks and turning them into chopsticks for affluent Chinese women. And so they've taken to hiring up militia in Africa to use their helicopter gunships with their 50-caliber weapons to wipe out whole families of elephants.
Wait a second. Where are you getting this information, my brother?
Well, that's all. You can get that from National Geographic. They killed 25,000 elephants last year. Okay, as far as the tigers, it's just Googling tiger zoos in China. You'll pull up, because see, the international law is that you're not supposed to allow the trafficking in any of these endangered species parts because it then creates a market for it. The Chinese want that market. They want to raise tigers in cages in huge farms. They're already doing it, and a lot of the environmental groups are demanding that the Chinese shut down these tiger farms because it's creating a market for the parts, and the Chinese don't want to have to bother with all this, so they have set about trying to drive the tigers into extinction in the wild, so it's not an issue anymore. And so, I mean, you have to realize that the Chinese don't take care of their own environment. Their own country is a freaking toxic waste dump. They don't care.
Rich, you're not kidding, are you? I'm looking at a picture right now. It says this is from 09. So this has been going on a while. So tourists feed tigers at the Jiangshan Bear and Tiger Park, a private zoo in Guilin, China, in an undated photograph. They're harvesting their parts. It says these tourist attractions secretly operate as fronts for illegal tiger farming, butchering captive tigers for their parts. Wow.
And see, in order to make it so that they're circumventing international law, they want to drive these animals into extinction in the wild. And I just think that people should be outraged at the idea that we will have jungles and forests that don't have these great, iconic wild creatures, all because the Chinese are so greedy that they are willing to slaughter the rhinos and the tigers and the elephants, all to turn them into chopsticks. And, you know, it has become, now it's reached a whole new level, though, because the Chinese are so affluent now. They have all this money. And so they don't care that, like I said, they'll wipe out a whole family of elephants to get to one set of tusks, because a herd of elephants, they're a family, and they won't just leave when one of their members is killed. They will stay there for days with it. And these guys in the helicopter gunships don't want to wait around, so they just slaughter the babies, the mothers. They take out the whole knowledge of this whole family that's, you know, been working that area. And so it's really tragic, and it's really disgusting and sickening. And of course, our government won't say anything about it because they're our bankers. You know, you'll never hear Barack Obama say a word about, you know, endangered tigers in China and their market for it. And so I just want to make people aware of it. I think it's disgusting. The WWF, that is the World Wildlife Federation, has a program for trying to save the tigers. The only way to save the tigers really is to put armed guards in the jungles, and that's what they're doing now. They're funding these programs to put armed guards up there. They just intercepted a 600 tusk shipment that was leaving Kenya. So you have 600 tusks. That's 300 animals, plus all the ones they slaughtered, you know, to move. And we're talking thousands of elephants, all for these tusks to head back to China, because the Chinese government turns a blind eye to all this stuff. Just like
I got you, man. Country. Listen, Rich, that's a very, very nice piece of information. Thanks. And I don't mean to cut you off. I want to get some more folks in, because the hour tends to go by rather quickly. But I'll tell you what, I just made a huge note, and I'm going to get Ensign Chris Seaboros into this, and we'll see if we can shine a light on it. It is nauseating. And their affluence, ladies and gentlemen, is, of course, you know, the fat cats, they're always going to be fine, if you'll excuse that unfortunate expression. They've always been fine, all the various dynasties and so forth. Those people live well. But I will remind you that up through the 50s, the Chinese were unable to feed their own people. And now they're on a big old roll now. And they're going to, you think Americans are decadent consumers? You haven't seen anything yet. Let's go immediately to Mark in Oregon, wildcard line number two. Mark, what's on your mind tonight, and welcome.
Well, hi, John. Be well. So good to speak with you, and thank you very much.
Mutual, sir.
Well, John, you know, I want to get right down to the red circle that's drawn around Sandy Hook and the latest Batman movie, Dark Man Rising.
Yep.
You're aware of that.
I am.
And also Strike Zone 1, which I understand is in the proper position directionally from Sandy Hook.
What is Strike Zone 1? Proper.
That's where the school would be.
Okay,
that's
gotcha.
That's also shown within the circle in the latest Batman movie.
Oh, yeah.
Dark Knight Rising, that was, by the way, showing at the Aurora Theater in the just previous engineered event. We have an engineered event here, and now the Patriot community has, which is most of the people in the country in one way or the other, is actually reacting and on the defense, basically, against what's the type of law that just got legislated in Congress this past week.
Agreed to keep talking about it, didn't they?
It is nothing that can be done on the defense. If this issue, of this link between the intelligence agencies of this country and the Hollywood movie industry, would have been research put out detailed as an issue in the alternative media, mass media, the main media, the Decepticon media, would have had no other choice, than to actually cover it, because it would have become an issue. And
sure,
it would have been the defining issue and the victorious issue, so to speak, of backing off. The only reason they want backing them off. And the only reason they want to take the guns is so that the American people cannot defend themselves.
I would agree with you completely, sir. Listen, I got to take a hard break now. Thank you for the call. That's correct. I don't know if it bothers you, but 2,700, just that we know of, armored vehicles, billions of rounds of ammunition. Who's that for? Training? Yeah, question is, what are the targets? This is Coast to Coast AM, back with more of your calls. Stand by. You know, I cannot help but toss this out. I can't help it. This headlong rush into total government control, with many true believers feeling that, oh, you know, the government apparatus will ensure our equality. Oh, they say it stridently. The part they leave out is the fact that the government apparatus is run by people. Many of them are more flawed than the true believers, which is why totalitarianism always fails. The true believers, at least, like the communists of old, believe they are sacrificing themselves for the greater good. The ones running it, they don't care about the good at the end of the rainbow. There's no pot of gold. There's just the rainbow. And the rainbow is just an illusion. Doing the run-up to Paul Gercio and Dr. George Hart with a few more of your calls. Stand by just for 2 minutes, just 2 minutes, and we'll get right to them. This is Coast to Coast AM. John B. in with you tonight for the Saturday night soiree here on Coast to Coast AM. Let's go to the Great White North. Let's go to Jeffrey on the international line. He's north of Toronto.
And everybody loves a soiree, don't they, John?
I'm telling you, I always did.
It's almost 20 years that I started sharing with the Coast to Coast listeners with art for me. So I'll just get right to it. Something that you mentioned at the onset of tonight's broadcast, and that is...
Onset, that's a good word.
The concentration for you guys down in the lower 48, or below the 49th parallel, actually, and that is the concentration of media. And we've got the same thing here in Canada. There's it's getting smaller and smaller, the number of companies. I think right now we're at four that are basically and they control not only print but radio as well as television, and it's just getting absolutely ridiculous. But one of the biggest things that hit the media this week, and that is that our largest bank, the Royal Bank of Canada, that goes under the acronym of RBC, was discovered to have been, they've spent in the last year $108 million with a company out of India to take away jobs from Canadian employees.
And what's the backlash from that going to be?
Well, there was a very, very contrite, oh, geez, we're sort a letter from the president of RBC that was released on Friday morning that, oh, we're very, very sorry. We take our corporate responsibility. But it's just that it's all, you know, mumbo jumbo, because the thing is they're only ticked off because they got caught, you know, and that's all. But it's just that that concentration seems to me to be that look over here at the right hand, because we don't want you to see what the left hand is doing to you.
Sure.
You know, that great diversion. But there's something that transpired in the province of Nova Scotia in Atlantic Canada today, Saturday, in fact. A young lady was laid to rest who committed suicide last week because she was videotaped by four guys being gang raped by them.
Oh, yeah, man, that was awful.
You know, and it's just, for the life, I'm a 59-year-old guy, and I just don't, for the life of me, I don't understand, where are these young guys thinking, you know, getting their thinking that they can get away with this sort of stuff? They videotaped it, they put it out onto the internet, and there's been absolutely no ramifications. In fact, the RCMP in Nova Scotia said, this is a couple of months ago, oh, well, we have to close the case because we're not going to be able to bring any charges. And yet the stuff was out there, John, And so all of a sudden now, because of the outcry of the people, the Attorney General of Nova Scotia, he's backpedaling, and now the RCMP are saying, oh, well, now we've got some evidence that we need to open up this case. Well, good God, if you had done the right investigation and did it thoroughly to start off with, this wouldn't have, you know, this girl wouldn't have killed herself because she had the police there investigating, and the thing is, they didn't do a damn thing, and I, for the life of me, I don't understand what's going on, what's happening, and what is responsible for this downhill slide for both, for all of us here in North America.
Well, I appreciate your call very much, Jeffrey, and I got to tell you, I'm completely on the same page with you. How about the little gal that was
girl in Nova Scotia? Are you?
Oh, absolutely. I saw her picture just day before yesterday. And the thing is, we had a similar thing. We had a similar thing happen in the States. I don't remember which school it was.
Ohio.
Yeah.
In Ohio. And the thing is that we had the same thing happen in British Columbia just a year ago. A young lady that killed herself. You know, and it's just that these poor girls that are being abused by these lads. And I just... Like I said, John, for the life of me, I don't understand. Where are the parents? How is it that a group of guys think that this is what is okay to do?
I got you. Now, I'm feeling your passion there, but I got to tell you, it's and you know, we don't get much news out of Canada, really. We don't really have any idea what it's like to live up there. We really know very little, by and large, about it's what?
It's just a mirror.
Is
you know, what's going on down there is going on up here, and it's just
well. Then the solution must be the same, my friend. It must be that the citizens need to take action. This entire civilization is being manipulated by a very small, very strident group of unhappy people who resent. This is just my opinion. As most of the things that I say are, and let me just give you the disclaimer now. What I say does not necessarily represent the opinions of Premier Radio Networks nor the station you're listening to this program over. But here's the thing. We had a situation where a young woman was got her intoxicated and did a bunch of things to her and all that, videotaped and all this, and then the town is divided because their damn sports team is just so important. Their sports team is so important. If I were the governor of that state, what I would say is you don't have a sports team now. As a matter of fact, you're on probation for 5 years because all you're doing is engendering a savage behavioral pattern among your warrior athletes. They're not warriors at all. They chase a ball around, and that's it. Do you get the idea that I'm not a sports fan? Well, I'm not. I think it's lunacy. No. Idiocy. First time caller, Tyler, Sacramento. If you can, don't make me worse. Come on the bridge of the mothership and speak to us, Tyler.
Hello. I had a paranormal experience about a few, like a year ago or so.
Yeah, what happened?
So I was on like a Saturday night, well, in the morning-ish. So it was like 5 or 6, and I was like, I just woke up, and I usually go out that time just to go like watch TV because I'm bored and I don't want to stay in bed anymore. But so as I'm opening my eyes, I'm like totally awake now. Then all of a sudden, my door's open. I always keep it open, but all of a sudden this tall black figure starts walking towards me in my room.
Yes.
And like any 11-year-old kid, like 9-year-old kid would do under their covers.
Wait a minute, are you 11 or are you 9?
At that time I was 9. I'm turning 11 this weekend, so.
Okay, gotcha. Well, happy birthday in advance.
Thank you.
Go ahead.
So, anyways, I ducked under my covers, and I'm like, okay, I may be hallucinating, I may not be, and I'm like, okay, it'll be over, I just thought I saw something. So I got over the covers again, and there it was walking towards me again.
And then what?
So then I ducked under my covers again, and then, like...
Okay, now, you're not making this up, are you?
No, I'm not.
Okay, keep rolling.
And so then the third time when I looked back up, like, disappeared.
But you're unharmed?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, it's good. Now, if you see your television set floating through the room, you know it's a burglar, probably.
Yeah.
Dressed in a ninja suit. We discussed that last weekend.
But yeah, the really weird thing was is that my great-grandma died just a month ago.
I'm like, sorry to hear that.
Yeah, thanks. It was just like a month before that, after that happened.
Yeah.
Before it happened, but it was just like weird and coincidental. And it did have curly hair and it was just really weird. And
well, it might have been your, these things are not, believe it or not, these things are not unusual. They're not. Many people see departed relatives who pay a visit. It might be a touch on the shoulder that is, it's unmistakable. It was a touch on the shoulder. There might be something disturbed in the kitchen or in another familiar and frequently occupied room of the house. So I would say that I would consider that a gift if I were you. And condolences to you for the loss of your great-grandmother. And as I say, happy birthday and many happy returns. Thanks for calling, Tyler.
Okay, thank you.
All right, take care now. All right, east of the Rockies, Barry in South Carolina.
Here I come. Hello there. I listen to, and as a matter of fact, you know what Chuck Berry says?
Yes.
Go, go, Johnny B. Wells. I tell you what, I was telling Jenna, John, just before she put me on hold, play the best music, buddy, of any of the coast-to-coast boys out there. I'm telling you, you have bound to have been a disc jockey in your life before.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I did have my stint at that. Only lasted about 2 years and 10 months, but it was fun while it lasted. My health would not withstand anymore.
Yeah, well, the thing is, I just heard that great lead-in song you played just a minute ago that I'd never heard before, and I said, I bet that's Robin Trower, because it sounded a lot like his guitar and a little bit like his voice. But what'd you say the boy's name was?
His name's Herman Brood. It was Herman Brood and his Wild Romance. Yep, Herman Brood. And like I say, I only know of one album that he put out. I'm probably wrong, but that's the only one that I know of. And
I'll be darned. Well, it's a good song, I'll tell you that. But listen, I want to just make another comment, but once again, I compliment you on your great music, buddy. You really do the best job on that. But talking about the pharmaceutical industry, back when you were doing the lead-in the last half hour, you're talking about Monsanto and DuPont with this lawsuit.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I'm a retired biochemist that worked for a pharmaceutical company for years until I finally got so sick and tired of the whole industry, I just threw up my hands and walked away from it. And you're right that these pharmaceutical companies are so greedy and so behind the scenes, and it's terrible. It's a terrible comment about the whole industry. But anyway, I just love your show, and I love listening to you. I wish you all more often, and I guess I'll let you go. But just keep up the good work, buddy.
Well, thank you very much for that complimentary call. I appreciate it very much. You know, wealth is hard to resist, isn't it? I mean, you remember the, now this must not be construed as being racist just because it's a Chinese man. It's like the nameless Chinese man. Would you push a button if you knew that an unnamed, unknown little Chinese man over there, I suppose it was picked, they picked China because there's so many people there. It's a dense population over there. Let's make him Chinese. For $1 million, would you put your finger on that button and push it if you knew it would end this unknown person's life? Ask yourself that question. Yep. Right, so. All right, how about Anthony, west of the Rockies? He's in Las Vegas. Anthony, how you doing?
Hey, John. Thanks for taking my call. I appreciate it.
Thanks for making it.
I wanted to piggyback on what we were talking about earlier with the corporate media. I wanted to suggest a documentary to everybody. It's called Manufacturing Consent by Noam Chomsky, where he talks about the consolidation of media platforms and how basically the military-industrial complex, a lot of these defense contractors have huge major stocks in every single one of these media conglomerates, you know. So to a great extent, you know, it's the media, it's the military-industrial complex that is shaping our general thought. And he also had a quote in there that was very poignant, which I'll read to you. It's, propaganda is to a democracy what the bludgeon is to a totalitarian state.
I don't think
you could put it any better when, you know, you have Joe Biden the other day saying that there is no way we wouldn't be able to pass through the Senate this gun background check if it wasn't for MSNBC. You have Hillary Clinton is quoted as saying that she admires the Chinese state-run media. I mean, if this is the direction that we're heading in and people aren't tremendously paranoid or, you know, upset about it, I'd be pretty scared of where we're heading.
Well, we ought to be, and I don't know if it's the high fructose corn syrup and the aspartame and the hydrogenated oil and the genetically modified foods. I don't know what it is. I keep using this metaphor of the comfortable chair doesn't make us more fit. I think we've just gotten soft, and you know, we used to have this little expression that we would say on some of the rock and roll radio stations that I would do some imaging liners for on occasion. Yes, contributing to the decline of Western civilization, this is rock, you know, whatever. Because we thought it was funny. After a while, I began to realize maybe we are contributing to the decline of Western civilization. Maybe we've just seen so much license being taken for so long that we have, in fact, we come under the power of immutable law number one. When the citizenry decides that the society is no longer worth saving, they give up on it. But I'll tell you who has never given up, and that is the communists. They have never given up. They don't care about you. They only care about themselves and enriching themselves on your backs, the fruits of your labors. If you let this happen, then I got to tell you, you deserve exactly what you get. And that saddens me deeply. Let's see here. What we got? No, we've talked to everybody. We're running out of time. Quick, how about wild card line number one? I have no idea who you are because my screen just went dark. Robert, hey. Yeah.
Yeah, this is Robert in Oklahoma City. I've been listening to this fellow. He's about 85 years old, and he's been writing books for over 60 years. And one of
his name?
Roy Masters.
Oh, yes.
But one of the books I was reading, he was talking about how dictators control the population through emotion. And if you look at all the major dictators that have ever came through history, like Hitler and stuff like that, they lie to people, but they hold it up as truth, and then they get the population whipped up into this emotional state.
Absolutely.
And then you got the useful idiots that are in the media that, you know, and people are brainwashed. And this guy, I tell you what, man, he's wonderful. It's like he talks about how to be unbrainwashed and how to be unhypnotized because, you know, our whole lives we go through a school system and we watch the media that lies to us. And, you know, I tell you what, man, I just hope if they ever come for the guns that people stand up and fight, that we have enough men to do it. But
no. Live on your feet or die on your knees, because that's the way it's going to go. Robert, thank you. I got to take a break now. But thank you very much for your calls. Sorry to everybody we can get to, but it's a fast hour, and I love talking to you. All right, we'll be right back with Paul Gersio and Dr. George Hart, the creators of the Merlin Project and Time Tracks. This should be a good one. We'll take some more of your calls as well. This is Coast to Coast AM, Saturday Night Edition.